What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 18th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Kyle Leahy. Six innings, 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. He finally got 7 strikeouts. He increases velocity on his four-seamer and his sinker. Also on his curveball up to 84 and 85, and that really has been the swing strike rate pitch of the year for him. But I don't really think we're at that point that Kyle Leahy is doing all the things that we want, right? It's not the 91 mile per hour slider that I saw in 2025 carrying over to this year. It is not a consistent curveball he can throw at any point, and his command around the zone is not really ideal. So I can see all the pieces here. You have wide enough movement across your arsenal, even though the four-seamer and sinker movement are not good. It's kind of empty velocity at 95. He does have 7 feet plus of extension. All of those things, though, are just not quite enough, and I'm not ready to jump in on Kyle Leahy. Nolan McLean had an amazing outing, and so did Kyle Bradish, and so did Robbie Ray in a relief role for the Giants starting in the second inning, as opposed to starting properly, but this is because it was a suspended game. And all three of them aren't as believable as I want them to be. So Nolan McLean, 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. Amazing. Oh my gosh. The sweeper went 39% strikes, though, and his cutter only 40%. And the ideal world of Nolan McLean is when he's throwing cutters over the plate for strikes, he has a sweeper demolishing right-handers, he has a curveball that works as well, the left-handers, and he has sinkers and four-seamers interchanging, right? So this is not that. This was a game where he got a little bit lucky in certain frames. He got out of a base loaded jam, for example. He had a shotgun blast of pitches, especially with a sinker that earned 70% strikes. So did the four-seamer. I'm not really sold that this is Nolan McLean doing Nolan McLean things. He also had a ton of strikeouts on the sinker as a called strike pitch as well. I just want to believe harder than this, and I know I'm going to keep starting him, but yeah, it's just not quite the Nolan McLean that I want. Robbie Ray, for his game, his was interesting, where he's starting to throw sinkers now to right-handers and left-handers. It went to 29% usage overall, as opposed to 4%. So that's pretty cool. He used that against the lefties instead of the four-seamer, because the four-seamer just really hasn't been that commanded pitch for him. The slider did fall back in favor of curveballs as well to left-handers. Now, it's not perfect. This was a game of the of Atlanta just swinging aggressively as right-handers, because let me tell you, 25% of the fastballs that they saw as a righty were in the zone. Just 25%. And then the other 25% of those strikes, because of their 50% strikes on those four-seamers and sinkers, were just chases because they were being impatient. He didn't even throw like the back of a slider effectively. It was strange. I'm not sold again on Robbie Ray. I feel like we want this to be the star that gives him the confidence, but I'm not saying, hey, cool, Robbie Ray is back to normal. Same thing with Kyle Bradish. Kyle Bradish had amazing whiff totals on his slider and his curve. The curveball had a super high velocity, all of a sudden 86 miles per hour with 16 inches of drop, and that is just unheard of. So good. And then you have an 89 mile per hour slider with what, 16 inches of sweep? Like, these are both amazing, but he's getting them almost always out of the zone, or the slider is just way too hittable at times. And I am sorry, not 16 inches of sweep, 12 inches of sweep, but it needs to be more reliable as a strike pitch instead of just chasing out of the zone. And what's actually kind of crazy is sinker had more backward strikeouts than his curveball or his sweeper alone. Wild, right? He had 5 backward Ks on sinkers around the edges. There was one that was somewhat in the zone, but the other ones were like right on the edges, and that is not sustainable either. So I don't really like Kyle Bradish having to throw tons of four-seamers and getting away with them to left-handers in the zone. I don't like it when both breaking balls go under 60% strikes. I do love all the whiffs, but I feel like that's an at-tee situation. So, again, not out of the woods. Peter Lambert had a great start against the Tigers. Got a win, 7 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. This was a little concerning. I know, I'm being so negative on all the good ones. But Peter Lambert was down at least a tick, if not two. And also, not only the velocity was bad, but he couldn't command. It was donut command, like right down the middle, or like a shotgun, like outside the zone. And when you think about having some sort of injury, you think, oh yeah, you can't command it and also lower velocity. I'm not saying that that's exactly what this is, but those are two of the flags that you normally see. And I'm glad that he got through this one. Maybe I'm big braining it. And yeah, he's going to be a questionable start for a date in Toronto moving forward. But yeah, Peter Lambert in the Dome of Houston was not as exciting as I wanted him to be. Eduardo Rodriguez, though, did all the things right. Like, he threw four seamers upstairs easily to right-handers, changeups down and away. That was a good 7-1 and run. Got the win against the Angels. Gets at St. Louis and at Tampa Bay and then Milwaukee. And like, yeah, he's a Toby. Sure, that sounds cool with me. Braxton Ashcraft did the things you wanted him to do. Even though we're just seeing like the curves to lefties and sliders to righties and not as much in between as I wanted. It's all good here. It was at Sacro Verde also, which is great for Brash Axcraft, which is the name I wish I could give myself. All right, 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 3 walks, 7 Ks for him. Luminder Avila had the great bamboozling of Kansas City last Friday. That was both Tatsuya Imai and Avila getting removed at 0.2 innings, allowing, I believe it was 14 earned runs between them, 13 earned runs credited to them. Insanely bad. But the other three games for Avila, including this one, have been at least 5 innings of 1 earned run on the dot. That's 5.2 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks here. And I love that we saw Avila have confidence with the back foot slider to left-hander. 6 over 19 whiffs to left-handed batters is really cool. I don't quite get how this 89-mile-per-hour slider is a 6-mile-per-hour difference from his 83-mile-per-hour curve, which have like the same movement. Don't understand. He did not throw fastballs over the plate at all. He really just avoided them completely and let his breaking balls do the work, which is fine. But I don't really buy into it for a long-term play here unless he's holding that 89-mile-per-hour slider velocity, which I don't think he will. So consider him a two-step for deeper formats at Tampa Bay and at Chicago next week, but I'd say it's too risky for 12-teamers. Griffin Canning against the Cardinals came in relief as he had an opener, and it was 4.1 innings of 1 run, 4 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. Nice, he got a win. Consider him as a vulture arm if they consider to do this in San Diego, but it's not really anything that I would chase. Sandy Alcantara against the Phillies got the win. 6 innings, 2 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. 18 whiffs. Man, 18 whiffs for a Gallo Spell. My gosh. It's because the changeup and cutter each went 70-plus strikes and also 12 or 54 whiffs between them. Oh, my gosh. That is so good. He also had the 88, 89-mile-per-hour heaters, but he didn't locate them well enough, and it led to 50% foul balls on those four-seamers. That is not ideal. So there's always something wrong, right, with Sandy Alcantara in each of these. I mean, this is a 1.5 whip after all, and I don't want to say that he is completely just fixed and great and amazing, but yeah, we're going to keep rolling with this against the Rangers and St. Louis. Javier Asada came through as my stream pick of the day. 5.2 innings of 2 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 1 strike. And how am I supposed to buy my bread with this? But he's like the pepper. You don't want to put the pepper on the bread, you know? He's for other things. And this is just solid. He's a Toby. He gets the Mets next. Sure. If you don't need strikeouts, that's fine. You have Jake Bennett looking kind of interesting. He went 5.1 innings of 2 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. He saved his 4-seamer to right-handers for deeper in counts, which was about 60%. In 2 strike counts, and guess what? 24% swing strike rate. He had 3 strikeouts on that four-seamer at just a 20% zone rate. Now, that does put too much pressure on the sinker inside the zone over the plate, which I don't really like against right-handers. And he has a changeup that can be good underneath it. He is at 94, Jake Bennett now, not 92. That's cool. I'm not really buying into this at the moment, though. I need to see more of this kind of success. And now he gets cores in the Yankees, so yeah, absolutely not. But I am curious to see if he holds the 94 with this approach that he's worthwhile holding, or not holding onto, but grabbing for at the Angels after. There's Carson Wisenhunt, who came in for game 2 of that doubleheader with Atlanta and the Giants. Came out as a bullpen game opposite Robbie Ray in the first one. For Atlanta, it was 5 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts for Wisenhunt. He was around like 96 in the spring that got me like, oh, this is kind of interesting. And now he's at 92, 93. And yeah, no, it's a Swatch lifestyle that is just not good enough unless you're doing more with the four seamer. Okay. Changeup isn't that good. Speaking of another guy with has a Swatch, but a little bit different, is Shane McClanahan, who had the 96-97. Actually, it was 97 for the second straight game. However, it's another bad one. It was 3.2 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 5 walks, and 3 Ks against the Dodgers. And what happened? Oh, no. He's throwing harder, but it doesn't matter how hard you throw a ball for. Ain't that right, Washington, D.C.? Yes, 38% strikes on the four-seamer and 33% on the changeup. My gosh, the two most important pitches for Shane McClanahan. So that isn't fun. However, he is throwing harder now for 2 straight. And I get the feeling that McClanahan's realizing something in his arsenal or his mechanics, like, oh, I fixed the thing. Now I can throw harder with ease, but now there's some other adjustment that needs to be made. So I'm excited about this. It's the Royals and the Diamondbacks next. I would be holding onto it. 2 games of that velocity is very important. This was 83 pitches. So I don't think that he's going to be this bad of a control pitcher. This will get better. George Kirby, 6 innings, 300 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. Carlos Rodon, 5 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. What do we do with these two guys? Well, I'm going to tell you about George Kirby, Rodon, and of course everyone else from yesterday's games after this break. George Kirby, yeah, 6 innings, 300 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks. No, he's not doing the thing that I want him to do. That is sweepers out and away, sinkers inside, and relying too much on the high four-seamer. Too many foul balls in the high four-seamer. 1 over 30 sweepers, 1 for whiffs. It's just not the life I want. It's fine, and he has potential for more. But I just... Holly? Cherry Bomb? One of those. Carlos Rodon, kind of in the same bucket. However, I have more faith in Rodon figuring it out because we've seen 2 out of the 3 of his main pitches work each game, and then there's always one that doesn't. And here against the White Sox, he got a win. 5 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. Really, this was one terrible pitch to C. Montgomery that burns my soul as it came with a middle out 0-2 slider as a lefty. And it's just, oh, get that thing down and away. And you get a strikeout and it's not all 3 runs scoring, right? Home runs are always going to be the issue with a lot of these guys. And you just need to get the slider, the changeup, and the four-seamer all working in one night, okay? So at least he's gotten 7 strikeouts in 4 of his last 5. Great for Carlos Rodon. But yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of time, I believe, that this will be fixed, okay? You have Casey Mize against the Astros coming back from the IL. He did go 86 pitches in 4.2 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. He's fine, but the sinker and the splitter were not good. The four-seamer wasn't quite what we wanted it to be, but at least the slider is good. And look, it's still ill. I'm glad he was at that kind of pitch count, and once he pitches after the Yankees next, then I would be picking him up again for the Astros. You have Shohei Ohtani going 400 runs in 6 innings, 7 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. All right. What are you going to do? We move on. Zach Littell, not very good. You shouldn't be doing that. Same with Anthony Kay against the Yankees. Not very good. Brandon Sproat against the Guardians. I mean, it was a walk, strikeout, grand slam to kick off the fourth. Then a pop out, and he got pulled with a hamstring cramp. So I don't know if he's even going to stick around. Obviously, it's a cramp. It doesn't feel like it's an IL stint, but who knows? Brandon Sproat is just not the guy you want to chase right now, and I think one day he'll be great, but just again, not now. J.R. Richie went in the second game for Atlanta, and it was terrible, and you should not have J.R. Richie on your team. Same with Aaron Civale. He came back from the IL, and it just was bad. 5 innings of 600 runs. Don't go for Aaron Civale. Sam Aldegari did not do well. We didn't expect that one. Didn't go well. 3 innings, 600 runs. Andrew Painter, now in the minors. 2 innings of 600 runs. I wonder what the Phillies are going to do. Maybe it's Alan Rangel, who last time I checked was a 19 inch vert guy, but super, super high attack angle with a slider. And I wonder if there's more now, but I would not be going for that. And you have Sean Sullivan also doing poorly because, yeah, it's Sean Sullivan. You have 2 more that I need to talk about, though. Nick Lodolo and Gavin Williams. Gavin Williams has done a recent switch of going to sinkers over four seamers. And it hasn't quite worked super well. I mean, for a little bit it did, but now I think it's starting to catch up to him. 5 innings of 700 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. So he did allow two home runs again, but it was just 3 earned runs of the 7. And I do question if he needs to mix in more four seamers back to right-handers, really dominate them upstairs with it, have that sinker go inside with it. And the good news of this is that both the sweeper and the curveball still getting 65% strikes. So I think that this is just a moment of adjustment for Gavin Williams. I am not afraid to start him out there moving forward. And Nick Lodola got singled out. He also didn't have a 50% strike rate on his curveball, absolutely, but he should not have 11 hits. He got totally co-faxed out of this. 4.2 innings of 7 earned runs, 11 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. I really don't think that that Lodola is pitching terribly. It's just one of those games, I think, where it all just didn't go well. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.